first of all, you're being recorded. And we'll get into that in a few minutes.
My name is Priscilla Rosa. And my website is www.prosa.net. And you should probably bring that up.
Use the schools of distance learning. For one thing, I predated it, and for number two is I don't like having passwords on it. So my site is open source and available, and students use it after they have graduated to go back and look things up and that sort of thing, so I don't like to have a password on it. Once you get to BeatRosa.net, you're going to click on CIS120/17. And the reason the 17 is there is that's the old number of this course. And some of the handouts that don't change may have CIS17 on them. And so I wanted to kind of clarify that those do belong to this course. Okay, so the old numbers are CIS17. So if you click on that, you will get the information for my course. Okay? Over on the left-hand side are the things that get referenced. Okay? And for example, there are notes and a handout. There are examples. There are programs. My suggestion is that you not just randomly go in there looking at the stuff, although have a good time if you want to, but rather go to the stuff that we are covering. So the first topic we're going to cover is HTML. And under examples, there's a bunch of HTML. So those are the things that you want to do, is click on examples. Come in here and look at the examples under HTML. Down here, there's stuff under access. Well, we're not there yet, so ignore that. Just focus on the HTML stuff. And then when we get to other things, go in and look at those. Okay? So there are notes and handouts. So you can look there and see if there was any HTML. There are programs. Those will tend to not be HTML, but the other things. There are presentations, you can look for HTML there. But kind of stick on topic, is what I'm saying, or you're going to end up getting totally confused. I record my lectures every class. That's why I told you you were being recorded. I record all my lectures, and unless I have technical problems, and the lectures will be here on the audio lectures. So if you click on that, you can find, as of tomorrow, you'll be able to find today's lecture. This will go up either tonight or tomorrow morning. So then you'll be able to find today's lecture. I also capture the smart board. So I take pictures of the screen, and I probably should have taken one back there. There is a picture I'm taking. And now I'm taking a picture of this screen. So as I go through here, I will take pictures of the screen. So at home, you can also see the smart board presentation. This class is a student option class, which means you have the option of coming to class or taking it online or mixing and matching. So some days you can come to class, some days you can stay home. Okay, it's your choice, it's student option. So you can come to all classes, you can come to no classes, or you can come to some classes. Okay, but you're responsible for everything. So online students have to do the same work that in-class students have to do. Okay, it's the same work and the same knowledge that you're going to be getting. Okay, so if you decide to not come to class, I strongly recommend that you look at the smart board presentation and listen to the lecture so that you know what went on in class. That's the easiest way to follow along with the class. Now, some people combine those and give you an audio-video kind of combination. I don't do that because I found that a lot of people just want to look at the smartboard presentations if they were in class. They want to use the smartboard presentations if they're doing their homework. And they don't want to listen to the hour and 15 minutes to get the smartboard. So I keep them separate. So that means that if you're not here, you can turn on the audio, you can bring up the presentation. But you're going to kind of have to figure out when I change screens. And, you know, there may be a little back and forth to figure out what screen I'm really on. But you can figure it out. Okay, so those are kept separately. Over here, I put in the week of. And this week happens to have a whole load of stuff on it. So I will put up over on the right the week number one, week of September 3rd. Okay? So this is what I would like you to look at on week number one. And week number one, right below assignments, I will put in the assignments. Frequently, I would suggest you don't start the assignments until the second day of class, each week, because lots of times the assignment has information from Tuesday and Thursday before you can do the assignment. Assignments are due the Thursday after they're assigned. So the assignment for this week isn't due until next Thursday, which is September 13th, I believe. Okay, so this assignment isn't due till then. I sometimes put the assignments up ahead so that people can work with them. I sometimes don't put up the assignment till Thursday or Wednesday night or something. So you're responsible for checking. Assignments will always be at the bottom of the week out. You can go in there and check what the assignments are. I don't take down week one when I put up week two. You then have both week one and week two. And then I put up week three. And so by the end of the semester, you'll have week 15 up there. Okay? And all of them will be up. If you look at the syllabus, which is over here on the side as well, and scroll down, that is the requirements and the grading. 80% of your grade is the homework that you do. That's 80% of your grade. It's homework, programs, code, quizzes. It's the work you do each and every week. 10% is for being a responsible person. I take late homework, but I hit you in this responsibility. Okay, if you're chronically late, If you're occasionally late, we all are, so that's not a problem. But if you're chronically late, then you're going to get hit in that 10%, okay? If you pass everything in the last week of classes, I'll take it. I'll correct it when I get around to it. And you're going to be losing 10% there because you have no sense of responsibility, okay? So the responsibility is 10%, and then 10% is your final. This is different maybe from some other courses you've taken, other than Calvary School. People would pass homework back to me, and there would be things wrong, and if I wasn't responsible for knowing that, I never bothered to even check it out. You are here to learn the stuff that's going to make a difference in your career. You've got to learn this stuff. And so if you pass in homework that's not correct, I'm going to pass it back without a grade and say you've got to fix and resubmit. Okay? and go ahead and fix and resubmit. And if it's not right, I'll pass it back again, and we'll say fix and resubmit again, and so that sort of thing. We will be setting up labs so that if you're having problems with it, you can go to the labs and get help. Newsy is the over there.
Hello.
Is the SI for this course, and she will have open labs where you can go and get help from her. I'm around lots of times for labs as well, and so you can go and get help. But this kind of stuff that we're teaching here in all of our courses isn't the kind of stuff that you don't have to learn. You really have to learn. And so if it's not correct, I'm going to just keep sending it back to you until it is correct. And there comes responsibility. If you fix it and resubmit it, then you're in great shape. If you don't, then you're going to lose some responsibility stuff because I need you to get it back to me. To be honest with you, half of you are not going to pass this class. Okay? And the reason is you're not doing the homework. There's no other reason. This stuff is not terribly difficult. It is comparable. We provide the support for you. But if you make the choice not to do the homework, then you're not going to pass the class. So it's your responsibility to get homework in, learn the material, and be serious about it, or you're not going to pass the class. And typically half of you will not pass. Okay? And I'd really like to see that number go up. So get me all the homework. Questions so far? Yeah.
Just a comment as a returning student here. I've noticed that around the fall semester, after Thanksgiving break, half the classes are gone.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I mean, this isn't the only class that loses 50% and so forth. Yes, there's a lot that go. And I can also pick out other prime spots where we start losing people. Yes.
If you see that homework assignment in, and it's incorrect, you want us to fix it, you need to submit it, will that be considered late?
No, it's not late. As long as you're responsible about it. If you submit it 2 months later, yeah, it's late. Okay, if it's within a reasonable time, it's fine. I do not give A pluses on homework that I pass back. So if you get it sent back to you, you're not going to get the A plus. You can still get an A. But an A plus is getting it right the first time. Okay, so I don't give A pluses except for the first time. So. You can still get an A, yeah.
I was just skimming through the syllabus, and I noticed some classes don't require the required textbooks. Does this one require it?
No. If you like to read textbooks or like to read the books, I mean, it's good background material. I will point you to places on the web where you can get what I consider acceptable alternatives. Okay? So if you like, I will not, as a matter of fact, good point, brother. I'm not big on following the textbook anyway. The first chapter of the textbook actually is pretty important. If you go to Amazon, and I didn't check to see if it's still there, but if you go to Amazon and go look up the book, you can get a good portion of the first chapter for free. And that first chapter is, I think, probably the most important chapter of the book. So I go to Amazon. If you're not going to buy the book, I go to Amazon and read the first chapter for free. After that, there's some good examples in the book. And they're examples similar to what I'm going to do in class. And so they're supplementary and helpful. But they're not that much different from what I'm going to do in class. So the book is a good supplement, but it's not a necessary thing. I tend to teach on a rather practical basis. So I tend to teach on the fact that you're going to learn by doing it, as opposed to learn by reading. Mainly because in this kind of a field, if you're learning how to do an Access database, the theory is going to work, but if you can't implement it, it works. So we'll going to be implementing things a lot more than just looking at the theory, and the book tends to be more theory-oriented. So it's good supplement, but not necessary. In my ideal world, you should read the book.
I have a book in that, so I still got it anyways. I was just curious about it.
And there's a lot of people that I see at the end of the semester with not just my book, but a lot of other books that are very pure and haven't been opened that much. So you know yourselves whether you're going to read or not. Let's see if there's anything else. So that's the book. It's not a required, but if you so the it says there, it's not required. And in fact, if you get an old version, one of her books, they've got all the supplements in it. So if you want a book and you buy a previous version, that will be fine. Okay, and you can usually get previous versions a lot cheaper. Okay, the assignment summary is down here just to kind of give you a pure image of what you have to do. The details are back on the page, but I put up an assignment summary here that says, okay, week number one, these are the two things you have to do. And then you have to go back to my page to get the details on it. That's about it. Any other questions? Come on, there should be a few. We've only been talking for 15 minutes. I couldn't have been that clear. Yeah.
You're talking about responsibility.
Is what? Consistently late.
How does that apply to students who
The assignment will be posted by Thursday. It's not due till the following Thursday. So you got a week to do it. And, you know, that's enough time, in my opinion. Yeah.
Another thing that, on that same topic, on that responsibility, one of the things was class participation. How would that apply to people that only listen to the lecture?
Well, it depends on how much you kind of get involved with me. It's much more being involved with me. So you're right. That would not be a factor if you're not in class. And I don't know. You don't have to really participate as much as I actually feel like get the feeling that you're actually paying attention. I probably should take class participation out of there since it's a student option course. Any other questions? Okay. Then we'll start our first class. How many of you know HTML? All right. Well, that's as far as we're going. Okay. There is an entire course that does HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and all that. We're just going to kind of coast around the edges and learn enough to put up a very basic page. Okay, so, again, the examples I actually put up here on the front page, but they are also back under examples. Okay, but I wanted to make sure everybody found them, so I put the examples up there. Okay. These are some sites that you can find that are good references. Wellesley Schools is a really good reference site for a lot of programming languages, for HTML, for all of those things. W3 Schools does a really good camp job of giving you things to work with. Oh, I also should have reminded you that the CSS course that you're required to take, if you take this course, you don't have to take it. It is incorporated in this course. And so the CSS, what is the number? I don't even remember. 120. Okay, so that is not a requirement if you're taking this course. This course covers CSS 120 as well as the four topics here, and so you don't have to take it. Okay, so if you go to kind of the middle of this where you see the HTML examples, I am using Firefox. Different browsers show things somewhat differently. I would use Firefox. I would not use Chrome. But I am using Firefox. You can use whatever you want, but just know what I'm using, because I'm going to click on certain buttons and they'll be slightly different in other things. Okay, so the first one is HTML5 intro. And all it says is, this is an introduction to HTML. Okay, so you're going in and you're picking up HTML5 intro and clicking on it, and there it is. Okay, now, if you want to see the code that made this, I'm right-clicking and saying View Page Source. Okay, so I right-click and say View Page Source, and it shows me the code to read this. Okay. Actually, that's not what I meant to do. Okay, so the first thing is doctype HTML. Okay, notice the line that says less than sign explanation doctype HTML close with greater than sign. That is not a requirement, but what it does is tell the browser that you're using the latest version of HTML. Okay, so if you're professionally coding HTML, you want to have that there. For your purposes, it doesn't matter as much because, to be honest, we're using just the basics of HTML, so it doesn't care that you know what you're doing. The next line says HTML, and that can be the opening line. The HTML is... enclosed in less than and greater than symbols. And all of the HTML tags are going to be enclosed in less than and greater than symbols. What that HTML does is tell the browser that the code that it wants to use to get your page up is HTML. And so it's telling the browser that you're using HTML. Now, HTML is made up of two parts, the head and the body, okay? And the head is just enclosed in the less than and greater than tag. And hopefully you'll look at this on your screen, okay? The title is also enclosed in the less than and greater than. And I gave the page a title, and the title is the introduction. The title will show up in the top left-hand corner of the page. So you'll see the introduction up there in the top left-hand corner. On this one, I chose to put the word introduction right after title. I could have put it down on the front, but I chose to put title and then tell what the title was, and then close the title. And notice the slash here after the less than sign, I have a slash, that means close the title. So putting that slash in there is the way I close the title. And then I close the head. There are other things you can put in the head, and we'll look at some of them as we go along. But for now, the only thing I'm putting in the head is the title. And then I get to the body. And I open the body. And then I have a single paragraph in the body. Okay, and that single paragraph is saying, this is an introduction, HTML. How do I know it's a paragraph? Because I have the P tag in common. And the P tag tells it that it's a paragraph. A paragraph is written, and then when you're done with the paragraph, it skips a line before it does another one. So if I have two paragraphs, I see one paragraph, and so then skip a line, and I see the next paragraph. Then I close the body, and I close the HTML. You see the slashes on both of those. So basically, all I've got here is the word introduction, and okay, you can see the word introduction over here in the top left corner. That was my head, and there is the word, the paragraph that I want to write. So there's my paragraph. Whoops. I messed up. It's probably easier to just go back in. Okay, the next line I have a list in. So now I've made my page a little bit more. And notice I've got a list. And I've got two lists. One of the lists goes 1, 2, 3, and the other list is 4. Okay, the same kind of thing you can do with a word processor. So if I do the view page source again, this is what I see. Again, I have the doc type, the HTML, the head, and the title, and closed head, all the same. And then I went into the body. And I put up a paragraph. Notice the BRs. The BRs mean break. And a BR is like an enter on the keyboard. It breaks down to the next line. So two BRs will skip down a line and skip down again. So it will leave a blank line. And then it will skip down again. So the two BRs skip down. And then I continued the paragraph. So the paragraph has a line. Then it skips down and writes on the next line. And it writes, now I wouldn't need an ordered list. And then it closes the paragraph. Now, there are two ways to make a list. One of them is OL, which is ordered list. OL stands for ordered list. The other one is UL, which stands for unordered list. Okay? Within a list, the items can be listed, and those are done with an LI. So LI means list item. So notice I have an OL, then I have a list item, and I close the list item. I have another list item, and I close that. And I do three of them, and then I close the OL. And OL says order list, so the list is 1, 2, 3. Okay? Then I put in another line. This is acceptable, but if you're a professional, it's not acceptable. If I put a paragraph tag on that, it would have become acceptable. But in the professional world, it has now become the rule that everything should be enclosed in a tag. And this is enclosed in a tag. It works. but it's not considered professional. But it's fine. The browsers understand it, and the browsers all understand that if they suddenly stop honoring that as a line, that a lot of people are going to get mad at their browser and go find another one. So they accommodate. The browsers are very, very, very forgiving of terrible HTML, okay? And that's just, I mean, we had that example there to make you talk about what I was talking about. Then I have an unordered list, and I put three list items. All have a close on them. Then I close the unordered list. I have a body, and I have a HTML. Yes?
Does ending a list automatically insert a blank line?
Yes.
Okay, I figured because there's two breaks above and one below, you have full result in one space.
Yes. Okay. So, what I do when I write this is I write the code in Notepad. Okay, so if I want to write this, I write the code in Notepad or Notepad++. You have to write it in a text editor. Okay? If you try to write it in Word, Microsoft will help you out and will stick in a bunch of stuff that will mean it will run. Okay? So it has to be run in the text editor. And the text editors that are used most are Notepad and Notepad++. Okay, so you bring up Notepad or Notepad++. You write the code like this in Notepad or Notepad++. You save it with a .html extension. So you save it with a .html extension. Then you open a browser and you bring up the page. Okay, you open the browser and you bring up the page. So, what I would like you to do now is to write a page with a paragraph or two, some VRs, upload this, come close to mine, so you feel like this. But start trying to do that, write the code in Notepad, save it with a .html extension, and then open it up in the browser. And Lindsay and I are here to help you. So bring up Notepad or Notepad++ and get started.
For consistency, should we use HTML or HTM?
HTM.
For consistency, we should use the same umbrella.
Yeah, it doesn't probably matter too much. Yes, for personal consistency, you should. But if you use HTM always, but if you start, you know, doing it sometimes your way and sometimes the other way, then you drive yourself nuts.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't mention the other one. Okay, so get going. Where they hit Notepad plus? Notepad rather, regular Notepad?
I had to look it up specifically.
That's what I do.
I just hit the stop menu and type in the word Note.
Yeah, no, I know, but I just was looking for the easy way. And you looked under accessories, and I don't see it under accessories.
It is under accessories, so I don't know why you obviously didn't have it.
Not on mine, and it's not in that.
I
yours up, Lindsay?
Mine only lists Notepad++ on mine.
That's all mine does, too.
Yeah, I don't have regular Notepad
available. I was able to find it because I just searched through all the programs and just found regular Notepad and just opened that because I want it consistently. I literally just searched it out. So now I just searched Windows, pressed Note, and the first one comes up.
Does the search bar pop up on yours?
It doesn't pop up, but it's only right there.
So what's the easiest way to find Notepad?
Mine has a little search bar right next to the Windows symbol, but I don't know.
Come on and see if you can see it online.
You want to just use regular Notepad or what?
That's what I prefer.
Notepad or Notepad Plus Plus. Notepad Plus Plus is up in my list. Notepad used to be a simple little click, and that's what I was looking
for.
Yeah.
Where else would it be located? Because I have a search bar now. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
What'd you do to get that?
That circle, I just tapped it.
And there's Notepad.
You could probably pin it to the
taskbar.
Or the taskbar, or like the home screen.
Except that every time it goes off, it goes away. So I've got to ask them.
You got a share drive that you access to the shop at the share drive.
That's true. My share drive is full.
Well, the shop at the cylinder less than 1 kilobyte.
But no, I mean, I couldn't save it. I've got to pin that out. Okay, so once you find Notepad, so I am got my code in Notepad. I've written my code in Notepad, and then I can just save it with a .html. So I got it up here in Notepad, and then I can do a file, save as, and I'm going to write first fall 18, 11 o'clock class. .html, and then I save that wherever I'm going to save it on my flash drive. So I save it on my flash drive. That's something I also should mention is I would suggest bringing a flash drive to class just so you can save it. So then you save it, so I saved it, and then you open it up in your browser. part of the thing too. The first day of class is always a challenge when I try to find stuff.
Is it under where you have the cardboard thing? There's lines there that you put. Like on the other side up near the bed.
Where?
Like up in the corner. The other corner where the boxes are.
Oh. Yes, probably it is. Now this.
Probably just covering it.
To move this.
So see the lines?
Yeah.
I think it's the ones all the way. Probably got to come to the
menu bar.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
There you go.
In Firefox, you can get a menu bar if you come over here. Okay? And click on, right click on these lines. And then see where it says menu bar? You can get a menu bar. Okay, and then if you have a menu bar, it's real easy to open a file because you simply say file, open file, and when you open the file, you go, I went to my flash drive and I have it. And there's my page. So if you bring up the menu bar, then you can just do a file open. And that's a lot easier than... I have very big items that we're going to change browsers because we made it for Google to search for things, not for developers. Developers want to be able to go to the file. But in Firefox, which is one reason I like Firefox, you can get the menu, and the menu lets you open things.
Control O works in Firefox as well.
Does it? Control O works in Firefox? I'd forgotten that.
It might be different on Firefox. So
if you're in the Firefox, that's the way to do it. Control, could you try it in Chrome?
It's Control O in Chrome as well.
Okay.
So you all edit the file, maybe you want to copy.
Just bring it up with Notepad or something. I always keep Notepad open so I'm satisfied with the page so I can go back and forth with the person. Okay, how are you doing? Is everybody going to start? Anybody need help? Which is cool.
I am.
I stopped asking. Should I stop asking your questions? So now you don't start asking a question. It's always the first day is always fun. They set things up differently.
I noticed on your page you have priscilla.brosser@bcc.edu on the board, rcn.com. Which one do you want to send out on?
Definitely that.
RCN.
If I didn't say that, and I may have skipped it in this class, this is my email. I get more trash than Bristol email, and I don't want to mix your work in with the trash, okay? So, send homework. That's the email I use for student questions, homework, all of that. So students should send it to me at e.grosser@rcn.com. Okay? Now I've sent you all that were enrolled in the class this weekend. You all got an email from me. And that is the address on e.grosser@rcn.com.
I don't think I got that.
Okay.
I'll see it.
Yeah, look and see. When did you sign up? Okay, you should have.
Yeah.
Because I just copied their email addresses.
When we submit homework to you, does it have to be a new address or use our own address? We have to make sure.
You can use any address you want.
Make sure you
identify. And I just hit return. I don't even look.
We identify who we are clearly.
Clearly. You got to identify who you are and what assignment it is.
Yeah, you know, especially when you're doing the address.
Right. So I have 120 students. So if you don't identify who you are, I'm not going to guess. Okay. Okay, if anybody's having problems, please let Lindsay know. Okay, does anybody need some help? Okay. I was also the kind of student that needed help but didn't want to admit it. So if you're the kind of student that needs help and don't want to admit it, please admit it. I was a fool. Okay, don't do the same thing. Admit it.
Question. So, for instance, this is what I have so far. Like, I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But, so say if I was to edit it again, say I edited it before, so if I just refresh the page, I'll edit or don't have to close it out.
Just refresh.
Okay. But that way I don't have to keep closing it
out. No. When I'm doing this, I always have Notepad open and a browser open. Finish the Notepad, test it in the browser. I don't like something, I go back to Notepad, change it, save it, do a refresh on the browser, and it comes back up again. Okay. Okay, I'm going to skip link page for now and pick that up on Thursday because I just think it will take more time. So I'm going to skip down to CSS lists. Okay. Notice what I've got here. I said, this is an introduction to HTML. Now I'm going to make an orders list. And those are in orange. And then I've got my two lists, and those are in green. Also notice that these two lines are centered. Okay? So, I've done some stuff here. Now, originally when HTML was designed, it was designed for scientists by scientists, and they could care less how things looked. They were interested in conveying information, sending data. As web pages caught on, people started getting interested in style, and they came up with ways to do style in HTML. But that was kind of getting clogged in with the HTML, and they decided finally that they'd like to have styles separate. So if I look at the view page source on this, you can see that up in the head, right below the title, I wrote style, type equals text, CSS. Okay, that means I'm using something called CSS, which stands for Cascading Style Sheets. Okay, so I'm using CSS to give me some style. So I said, okay, I want the color of the body to be red. Well, to tell you the truth, it was orange to me, but anyway. Apparently I thought I was getting red. Okay, so I said, I want the body color to be red. Now notice how I did that. I've got the word body. That's the tag that I want to apply this to. So that means I want to apply this to the whole page. Then I have an opening curly brace. And notice after I finish, I have a closing curly brace. Now, a lot of people put those on the same line. They don't make them as separate lines. I have to make separate lines because I'm terrible about remembering those closely. And if they're on separate lines, I can see it better. Okay? So inside this body, inside the opening closed curly braces, I wrote color, which is referring to font color. And I put color, colon, and then I picked a color, and I wanted red, so I put red. So I've got colon, color, colon, then I put red, and then I put a semicolon at the end. Okay, so I have to set it up like this. The tag, open a curly brace, tell what I want to affect, the color, and those are reserved words. Those are specific words. The word color means the color of the font. I can't tell it in any other way. I have to tell it color.
Are these commands case sensitive?
I don't think so. Everybody does it in lowercase. But I'm pretty, I've done them in uppercase. Okay. And then you have red, which is a color. Okay, it used to be that all colors, only the main colors had words. You had to write a code for all the colors. Now they have got, somebody had time in their hands. And there's sunflower yellow and sky blue and all kinds of colors. If you go to W3 schools and look up colors for CSS, you'll get any possible color you can imagine. So the color here is red. Then I decided that my paragraphs, when I made a paragraph, I wanted to use text align and align it to the center. So I picked a paragraph and I said I want to do text align to the center. And I want the font size to be twice normal. 2EM means twice the normal size. So those are the two things I wanted to paragraph. And you saw my two paragraphs were indented and centered. and they were big with a one size to the other. And then I said, my allies, I want to change the color. I don't want them to be the default color of red. I want them to be green. So I changed my allies and said, anything with an ally tag won't be red, it will be green. Anything I don't talk about will be red, but allies will be green. And then I closed up the style. Okay, there's closing up the style. And then I closed up the head. So the style is embedded in my head. Okay? Now, if I want to, I can go to W3 Schools and their HTML, and I can find lots of other tags, and we'll talk about other tags. But for now, I'd like you to just experiment with CSS and use the tags that I use. So take the page that you wrote, and let's add some CSS to it. Yeah.
Like the page that I wrote.
Well, then you get to rewrite it.
Which is interesting, though, because so I was actually curious to see if this would work, but apparently it's still there. Like, I can still open it. I just opened it right now, but it's not there. Well, it's not in my document.
Okay, wait a minute. You get text over here.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, well, right. I've done that many times. Because it defaults to text. So try throwing in some CSS. So I just put in a search for CSS color, for example. Okay, so I'm saying CSS color, and I'm doing a search on those. And if I go to W3 Schools, there's my list of all of the different colors that I can have. Okay, so I just did a search on CSS color. And I picked W3 Schools, and I brought up all of the different colors. Okay, so anything you want to do, I would just go and do a search and put, when you're doing the search, put CSS so it knows you're interested in CSS. But if you want to say, I want to align things, you can say CSS or center, CSS center, and it will give you information about how to center. So here is CSS text align, which is what I use at W3 Schools. So you can go in and just do a search of, I want to know colors, I want to know, and it will give you the information. Yeah.
I have a question. So here there's a space between the foreground and the start of the line. Is the space important?
No.
Okay, so then what about the space?
It could all of the
original.
Okay. I put professionals tend to put the curly brace up there. I get curly braces when I put them up there. So I put them down low so I can see very clearly. Yeah. So I mean I use my curly braces that way because of my deficiency. So you can do it all the way.
So during my list, I decided I have to center a line of text. There were not center a line because I realized it's just a little text in the shorthand.
Yeah.
Which is CSS.
That's a good problem.
Well, right now it's brought up by Shandry. So we're
and then I I go back and look, you can see all the different sizes. So header 1 made it bigger, and they go down to header 6, which is really tiny. Okay? And if I look at the next example, Whoops. With CSS, I made header 1 and header 3 and header 2 all bigger. There's header 2 over there. And so if you look at the source on this, you can see how I did that. I've got header 1 is color red aligned to the center. Header 2 is color blue aligned to the right. Header 3 is color green aligned to the center. And header 4, 5, and 6 are left alone. So I now have added headers, and I put different colors on the headers. So add that into your page. Throw in some headers. They can be anywhere on the page, top, bottom, middle, and make them have different colors. Background color of beige so that my page had a background color. Okay? So try throwing all those good things in.